Welcome to the Fast Cars, Fast Girls podcast with Abby and Molly. What are you already laughing at?
May is going to drive us crazy.
Welcome. We're going to be slap happy most of the month from lack of sleep.
Yeah, we are.
I see that in our future for sure.
I think this is episode, episode 11.
Sure.
Episode 11. Yeah, no, it is. I got it. It's episode 11. And to warm up the tires for episode 11, we're going to be talking about the IndyCar GP coming up this
weekend.
Yes. Yeah. And then we also have an interview with Lindsay Beckley from the Talking Hoosier History podcast. And it's kind of just a shit we didn't make up interview.
It is. That's basically the entire thing is just a bunch of shit that we didn't make up and shit that Lindsay didn't make up.
Yeah.
So just some fun facts and history about the IMS and the Indy 500.
Which we had a lot of fun of.
We had a great time. So, and she's gone. She's gone for more than a couple of years with her family. And, she had a great time looking stuff up. And just one more thing that we can talk about to get us jazz for the biggest race of the year.
Can't wait. Favorite
weekend of the year.
It's coming close.
But before that, we got the IndyCar GP, which...
The amuse-bouche to the Indianapolis 500.
Yeah.
Because it's a Grand Prix.
Yeah, I like that.
You're welcome.
I like that.
You're welcome.
I don't know what that means, but I like it.
So
that's how I feel when you speak in French.
So the IndyCar GP, obviously, as we should all know, and if you don't, that's fine. It uses the road course layout in the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. It's a track similar to what they used to use when the Formula One, which would be the Grand Prix of Indianapolis.
Yes, when it was here. And that's why it's not called the
Grand Prix of Indianapolis.
It's called the IndyCar GP because they did not want confusion because the F1 race was called the Grand Prix of Indianapolis.
Right. Totally different. Two separate things. Very similar. But the track is similar to the F1 track and what the motorcycles use. There's a little bit more usage of the inner turns.
There are.
With ours. And the big thing that people always kind of need to know is that it runs opposite.
It does.
Of the 500.
So turn one for the road course is actually turn four of the oval.
Which is why I sometimes will write RCT1 instead of turn one, because all of us at IMS are used to
turn one. Yeah, there's only one turn one.
There
at
really
the IMS,
is.
And so you have to specify, road course turn one.
Road course turn one.
Because if you say turn one, everybody thinks 16th and Georgetown.
Yeah, that's it.
The turn one.
Although that turn one and the road course turn one last year saw a lot of action. Mm.
Turn ones always do with that track.
They do.
The turn one at that track will come out and bite you in the ass. Like, it will jump out and bite you.
You'll think it's nice, but it's not.
No.
No.
A lot of people stuff it in turn ones.
Or just run off.
Yeah.
A lot of runoffs. Fun fact.
Yeah, it looked a lot like Mario Kart last year.
I was about to say.
These new cars.
It's going to be great.
I think that we're going to see a lot of dirt and grass on tires.
Our very first episode was all about the IndyCar GP.
It was.
Aw, memory.
Nostalgia. Mm.
So the IndyCar GP, it's 2.439 miles per lap. They run 85 laps. That's a total of 207.315 miles.
Which is no bullshit.
Nope.
Yeah, that's a serious race.
It is held on Saturday.
Yep, and they do that to avoid Mother's Day, which is the following Sunday.
Which is nice.
It'll be Saturday, May 12th.
Yes.
And I'll just go ahead and dedicate this right now to my second oldest niece, Kathleen. Happy graduation. And the IndyCar GP is the reason that I am not attending her graduation party. So I love you, and I'm sorry, but not that sorry.
And I'll see you back at the house.
I love you, and I'll see you back at the house. So anyhow, congratulations on graduating. We're all very excited for you and very happy for you. And she's going to St. Mary's College in South Bend, Indiana.
Which is lovely.
It is lovely. I mean, it's a shitty drive up 31. It's a heck of a lot better up to Kokomo now since they redid 31, but it's still a long drive. Solid 2.5-3 hours.
Yeah.
But, not too far for an aunt to drop off a nice care package every now and then. So.
And Notre Dame's, they kind of intertwine those two. So
yeah, it's a sister school of Notre Dame.
It's a sister school, so that's exciting. I'm always proud when people graduate
and go
to college.
Very proud of her.
It makes me happy.
I'm very proud of her. She's she's going to do great things.
She's going to do fantastic. She's a great kid.
But yeah, sorry, not sorry. Not going to be at that party.
It's fine. So back in 2014, the winner was Pagano with RHR coming in second, Castro Neves coming in third. This back in 2014, they kind of dabbled with the idea of a standing start in IndyCar. They did not after 2014. And one of the reasons was at the 2014 IndyCar GP, at the start, Saavedra's car stalled, Alosian and Munoz ran into him.
I mean, I think that's just your risk regardless when you do a standing start.
Yeah.
And really, with our cars and as fast as they go, I think a rolling start is much better.
I think it helps you get up to speed.
Well, and it also helps them warm. I mean, I know they're not at speed on the tires.
Yeah.
But it does add a little bit of warming up to those tires.
Because sure.
Until they get warm, I mean, there's such a little amount of grip. I mean, we have all seen guys come out of the pits and it just locks up and they just slide. It's like they're
around.
On ice. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm not surprised that that was a one-off and that it...
Yeah, they were like, you know, we're not going to do this anymore. It's fine. What's interesting is, and we're going to Portland later this year. Portland used to be a standing start when it was a kart race.
Interesting.
That's one of the things about Portland I noticed. Ooh. So anyway.
They're not trying that shit this year, right?
No.
Okay, I wouldn't think so.
No. So, and then in 2015, it was Power Reja Juan was in third.
Right.
Oh, Juan.
Lap one, turn one.
That turn one?
Yep. Turn one will get you.
Turn one will get you.
Turn one will fuck you up. So lap one, turn one, Dixon spun out, and Newgarden, Castro, Neves were also involved in that.
I mean, those are some big names right there.
That's hardcore.
That's hardcore. 2016, Pagano was first. You should be catching a theme here in a minute. Castro, Neves was second, and Hinchcliffe was third. Oh, wait a minute, what happened?
Uh-oh. Lap one, turn one, TK and Bourdais connected.
Yes. What was really cool is actually Pagano had a 6.7 second pit stop. And that was one of the reasons why he came in first.
Yeah, that's fucking fast.
Yeah. It was also one of the colder races at Speedway. I didn't write down the temp, but everybody said it was if not the coldest, then one of the most cold.
It definitely was. And that year, actually 2016, so that was the 100th Indy 500. That was a cool year for the Indy 500
as well.
That was
a chill race.
We actually took sweatshirts over in the morning.
Yeah.
If you'll recall, which is extremely rare for race day. That was the year that we were so cold during quals that we went down and
we had to buy shirts.
Yeah, we bought sweatshirts and we overpaid. We were like, we just thought,
we got to get some.
Okay. You know, I'm just accepting that I'm going to be paying entirely too much for this sweatshirt because we usually like to wait till things go on sale.
Yeah.
So we just picked ones that we really liked, and yeah, because we could not handle sitting up
in the top part of E,
that wind during quals. We were dying.
I still have that sweatshirt, and I still love that sweatshirt.
I still love my sweatshirt, too.
I also love the photos of us all in those sweatshirts. We look like an alt-rock band.
We do. It's like the best album cover photo
ever. It
really
is, like dropping from Standy. It's fine.
Yeah.
So last year when we went.
Yes, the 2017.
Power, Dixon, and RHR won. So if you were paying attention, it went Pagano Power.
Castro Neves was in two of the four.
Yep.
RHR was in two of the four. Podium to two of the four.
Yeah.
And then, Hinch and Castro Neves and Rahal were kind of one-offs. And Dixon.
Yeah. So, I mean, not bad. Mm-hmm. And then last year, no cautions. Even though it was slipping and a sliding, but no cautions.
Yeah, there were a lot of cars that went off in the grass, but they got back on the track. They didn't connect. You know, it didn't.
It was just Mario Kart. People were running off the track like
and
Rainbow
they
Road.
Just back in, and nobody was jumping out in front of somebody else who was going faster and getting hit or any silly business like that. So
it's exciting. And this year, one of the big things about this year is this is kind of, I know we've got the Danica double. I don't know. There should be something about Elio because he's doing the GP and the 500.
It's true. That is very true.
I don't know. The Castro Neves couple. Oh, there you go. You're welcome.
Yeah. You're welcome, Penske.
You're welcome.
Hashtag the Castro Neves couple.
I don't know. That's all I can think of right now.
Castro Neves duo. I don't know.
I was trying to do an alliteration.
Yeah, I hear you.
It happens. But anyway. Castro Neves will be running in this race, and it's the Pennzoil Yellow Submarine car.
It
not
sure
the same
is.
Car, but it's that yellow.
But it's that bright yellow. We got to see that on
back
last
when we were
week
testing.
For testing.
Yeah.
It was beautiful.
Well, talking about 2018, who do you got?
So, I'm gonna make a bold choice here
okay.
for first. I'm gonna
excited.
Go with Robert Wickens.
You know, he's due. I get it.
Yeah, he's like the little engine that could. And
the little Canadian engine that could.
Yeah, the little Canadian engine that could. The little Canadian engine that should have already won an IndyCar race.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, St. Pete was heartbreaking.
Yeah.
It just was. And, I mean, he's podiumed. He's been so very close.
Yeah. He's due. It's his time.
Yeah.
I think I picked him a couple of races back and said it's his time. And he wasn't, apparently.
Did he win a race?
No, he has not won.
Are you sure? Because there was some joke that, like, Rossi said, and it was like that would only be funny after.
Phoenix. He got second in Phoenix. Newgarden passed him in Phoenix. He got second. Rossi was third.
Okay.
Long Beach, Rossi was first. Yeah.
There you go. Okay, sir.
That's okay.
So yeah, I mean, he hasn't had that one that P1.
But he's been there.
Yeah, he's very close. He's been very close. I mean, yeah, Newgarden beat him out.
Mm-hmm.
Was that Phoenix?
It was Phoenix.
Yeah, Phoenix. which, I mean, he ran a great race there as well.
Yeah.
I was glad to see him podium there. That was definitely awesome. But I think that, you know, he's got a lot of experience on road-type courses, and so I think that that's a good strength of his. But I think that he shocked everybody with how well he did on ovals.
I agree.
And, you know, seeing on the rookie, the ROP testing, that, you know, once they got out of their required stages and just went out and ran it, he had the top time. I feel like he's got it all across the board, you know, like a triple threat.
Yeah,
know,
I think
like
so.
An actress, you know, somebody who can act, sing, and dance, you know, triple threat.
It's the EGOT of IndyCar.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yes, that's a perfect way to say it. So, yeah. So I see. I'm going to go bold. I'm going to say Hinch. I'm going to say, or I mean, Wickens. I'm like, sorry, Hinch is
wrong
my
Canadian.
Next one. Yeah. But yeah, I'm going to say Wickens. I think the GP might be his.
Okay.
His first win.
Awesome.
So, and then top five, I'm going to say Hinch because Hinch is just doing, he's doing great this season.
I agree.
At testing last week, him on the radio, everybody else on the radio, you know, when they were out, there were some people that were complaining about understeer or the feel of the car and this and that. And, you know, and they asked Hinch something. He was like, 10-4, buddy.
Right, like, they're like, radio check, loud and clear.
He's like, loud and clear.
Let's go.
I mean, you just could hear in his voice that he was just out there having fun. Like, he was just out
he
there.
He wanted to go.
I mean,
he just wants
he
to drive fast.
He was doing what he had to do, but he was just fucking around. You know, like, he's, you know, it's like you could hear the smile on his face.
Yeah, I agree.
So, yeah, I'm not counting Hinch out of anything. In fact, he may end up winning the thing. We'll see.
Maybe we'll have a Canadian podium.
That would be pretty awesome to have a Team Canada.
Similar to a Canadian tuxedo.
Team BFF. Yeah. And and then to hear Hinch talk about that on their podcast would be awesome.
Yeah.
So, and then we've got for top 10, I'm gonna say Newgarden.
Okay.
So, because he has not done that well at the IMS, but
yeah,
you know, he's got a championship under his belt now. He's got a year with Penske, so he now has had three different race teams, three different, you know, sets of
things.
Strategy in his ear.
Yeah.
And so I feel like he's kind of at the point where he can do the a la carte thing, where he takes, okay, this person said this, I'm going to take that and keep it. I'm going to let go of that. Okay, this person said this, I'm going to take that, I'm going to add that into this. And so I feel like he's had enough really great people in his career so far that all of the pieces are coming together. I mean, you know that I would love to. I've been rooting for him to win the Indy 500 since he was a rookie.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, I think top 10 for Newgarden. And then first out, I'm going to say Sato just because of the humor and irony. If the first time Sato was back to the Indy 500, he stuffed it.
Yeah. I mean, it would be very ironic.
The irony.
There'd be a moment where I'd just be like, are you kidding me?
And I don't wish ill will on anybody.
No.
But, I mean, the headlines would write themselves.
Right. We don't want him to. When we say first out, we don't want him hurt, but, you know, we would giggle.
But I mean, I still want that point.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't want you to be hurt, but I still want that point.
I want that point, though.
We still have a bet happening here. All right, what you got, Molly?
So first, I have Rossi, and we might as well just write him in for the rest of the year.
Yeah.
But it is the IMS, and he had, you know, he came off the rookie win a couple of years ago. He's that strong buildup. I just think this is his year, so I'm just going to keep picking him for.
Well, I'll tell you what, if Barber's any indication, that car was so fucking fast on those corners.
Yeah.
We know that Rossi's fast on the straightaways at IMS.
It's the corners that I'm really
but
picking up a lot.
Those corners, I mean, could not. I mean, that's when he was getting away from power.
It was Long Beach.
Was that Long Beach?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it was.
That's
that's right. Barber was the rain.
Barber was a weird. Like,
it was,
Barber is weird.
Sorry, but yes, that was Long Beach. You're
100%
correct.
That's okay. Barber is like Texas of last year. Like, it's there, but we're all going to pretend like it doesn't exist when we talk about anything.
I mean, I had a good time watching it, but it was a shit show of a weekend.
Right. Like, it's there, but we really can't take anything away from Barber except I don't wish.
Yeah, things happened.
So glad I didn't have to make those decisions.
Yeah.
So glad. I've got him for first. I've got Pagano for fifth. A, Pagano's done well at this track. B, he's kind of had, I don't know, it's not been the, it's just been an awkward start.
It's not been a great start to the season for
him. And I'm surprised by it. And yeah. I think he's probably, he's going to have a couple of.
He's tired of that.
I think he's tired of it. I think he's going to refocus. And I'm looking forward to seeing him kind of pick it back up. Power and Newgarden are higher in the championship totals. And, you know, those Penske boys, there's a lot of like
a lot
everything
of,
you can do, I can do better.
Yeah.
And that's great. That's what you
a
want.
A lot of in-house competition.
And I think
that's
that
a good thing.
He's going to be like, all right, it's time for me to step up. Like,
absolutely. Well, and you know, I have seen a couple weeks ago some articles on the internet where people have talked about, you know, a lot of people said that these new cars, the new aero kits, were going to kind of separate the men from the boys.
Yeah.
And that there were people, you know, that, you know, in their opinion, there were drivers in the past that did well, and it did not have as much to do with skill as it did with the aero kit. And Pagenaud's name was thrown up because he was the 2016 IndyCar champion.
Sure.
And so they threw it up and they said, you know, maybe Pagenaud is one of those drivers that, you know, it was more the car than the talent. And I'll tell you what, I'm a Pagenaud fan.
Yeah.
I mean, we got our nails done at the beginning of the month, and the first color I chose was Menards yellow. And for the record, that was one of the first things Pagenaud noticed when we talked to him. He was like, "Your nails." And I was like, he was like, "They match." And I was like, "Your car." Yes, they do.
You're like, "Absolutely."
I was like, "They're Menards yellow."
I did the whole color code. It's fine.
Right? I'm like, that was on purpose. I was like, now the fact that I met you while wearing this color, totally coincidence, but they were yellow on purpose. I am a Pagenaud fan.
Oh, yeah.
And so I will respectfully disagree with that because I don't think that it's a car. I think that he's just had some bad luck.
I think so.
And I think he's also still, I mean, there's a learning curve to it. I mean,
it's a new car, first of all.
Yeah, he's an experienced driver. You know, he's been around since 2011, I believe.
Yeah, sounds about right.
Somewhere in there. You know, so he's not a brand new driver, but these cars are throwing some people for a loop, and I think that he's about got it figured out. Yeah. I mean, he was second fastest in the testing, so I think that that's a solid choice.
Yeah, and I think he would have done well at Long Beach, but for getting bumped out, you know, lap one, turn one.
Lap one, turn one, although it was not his fault.
No, I have 100% not his fault. No.
Yeah.
So I've got him for top five. I've got Power for top 10. I think, I'm expecting Newgarden to do well. I think the Penske team has gotten maybe a couple of talkings too.
Oh, and I think so.
I think everybody, even my enemy, I like all the Penske drivers. I'm not carrying the Team Penske banner, but I'm like, what's going on here, guys?
Yeah, because I mean, they're typically seen as a powerhouse team,
and I think it's a little less mixed than what it should be, and so I'm thinking this is a time when they kind of step up. So I've got him for top 10.
And well, and also I want to add this in. I feel like Team Penske's going to do better in May, period, because Alio, like we discussed in the past, was kind of that team captain persona.
I agree. Yeah.
He had enough experience. He was not threatened by new drivers. He wasn't threatened by your skill. In fact, he embraced it.
I agree.
You know, anybody that could challenge him, he embraces it because it's only going to make him better. He loves the competition, and I don't feel like he's that guy that, you know, is going to snub the newer drivers or, you know, whatever. It's like, and so I think that what we're seeing with some of the Penske kerfluffles this season is just that, you know, they lost the leader.
Yep.
Yeah, an unofficial leader within their team. And so I think that May's going to be a good month for them because
they've got the leader back, and I don't think any one of them have kind of stepped into that vacuum.
No, I don't think that anybody really has. I mean, and it's a hard place to be.
Yeah, it's weird.
You know, I don't feel like Will is, you know, I feel like Will's got a lot of good qualities about him, but, you know, sometimes a captain you have to jerk a chain, you know.
Yeah.
Jerk somebody's chain. And other times you have to be, you know, more touchy-feely. And I don't feel like Will. I feel like Will's just very blunt, which is fine. I'm a blunt
That's
person.
Fine.
I get
Do you.
That.
Yeah.
But I don't think that Will's going to treat anybody with kid gloves ever.
No.
I feel like Joseph Newgarden probably has a great personality to be team captain, but he's too new. He doesn't have the experience with the Penske team. He's the newest on the team. And so I think that that's a non-starter.
Pagenaud's not that long on that team either, really.
He's not. And I don't see him, I mean, same as Will Power. Like I see him as, you know, being, you know, nice to the new guys and giving them, you know, a few pointers here and there and, you know, helping to build their confidence. But I don't see him as the guy that's going to jerk a chain.
Yeah, I get that.
So I don't see him as the one who's going to, like, lay the smack down either and be like, no, this is the way it is. You need to stop fucking this up. So
I agree.
Which, I mean, maybe he'll get to that point. Maybe after Alio, you know, they'll realize that, you know, okay, one of us needs to step up. And
it will be interesting to see how they do in May versus how they do, like, the next couple
the
of races.
Rest of the season.
Yeah. And see, is there a change? Are they back? And if they're back, if it kind of falls back, then yeah, they're missing that leadership within the team. I'm sure, like, Roger's the leader, let's call it, but there's that.
But I mean,
driver
leader. You've got a coach on a team and then there's a team captain.
Yeah.
And we lost a team captain.
We did. So, and then I've got Laced first out just because.
You mean Matthias lost?
Matthias lost. I don't know. I don't trust the kid.
There's only one AJ. Well, I mean, I love TK.
Yeah.
But I do love TK, so I won't say anything bad about TK.
No,
but
right.
Laced is not the AJ car that I will be rooting for.
No.
Nope. It'll be TK or Davison. Dixon. Lord. Davison.
So while we're going to be at the GP, we thought we'd still, because not everybody goes, we thought we'd still put out a little bit of a drinking game fun for it.
Yes. And so the race that we play when we're at or the game that we play when we're at races. And if you're at races, this is a much easier game than our other games.
Yeah.
Because our other games are based off of announcers and things that you would hear on TV, and you're not going to hear a lot of that while you're in the stands.
No.
So the game we play at races is simply the blue flag game.
It's easy.
Every time you see a blue flag get
You
yell blue flag, and it's a social.
Because everybody needs to know.
Yeah, everybody takes a drink. And it's because I started this game. This is actually an Abby Meyer original, mm-hmm. and I'm very proud of it. And it started because the blue flag is my favorite flag.
It's a good flag.
And sometimes it's blue, sometimes it's the blue with the orange stripe, depends on which track you're
track at. And all that good stuff.
But it basically is the flag that the officials flash to you to say, there's faster traffic behind you, get the fuck out of the way.
Get out of the left lane.
Yeah, it's move, bitch, get out the way.
It's the move, bitch, get out the way flag.
And so it's my favorite flag, and you have one lap.
Otherwise, they start getting really mad.
And then you get a black flag.
Yeah.
And it starts with penalties, and it ends with disqualification.
It ends with, sorry.
It ends with, I'm taking your ball, and you get to go home.
I'm going to need you to pull into pit lane.
Yeah.
That's how that ends.
So, yeah, so blue flag if you're there in person. But if you're not.
We've got a few things. So, first one is if they talk about Penske's domination at this course, especially last year with power winning and everything else, and if they talk about any sort of, they're not doing as good this year as they were last year, that's a social drink.
Yeah, any sort of lamenting about comparison of Penske this year to last year.
Yeah.
And how they're not doing as well. That's a social.
That's a social.
If they discuss, and this is during the GP, okay? Yeah. They discuss Elio's attempt to get his fourth Indy 500 win, because of course
they're going to
talk about it.
Yeah, it's going to happen.
We talk about the 500 all month long. It doesn't matter where we are. I mean, it's definitely going to get talked about at the GP, but they are especially going to talk about Elio and his attempt to get his fourth. And also, it's a finisher drink if they reference the fact that if he wins this year, he will be on par exactly with the years between his wins as Al Unser Jr.
That's a good drink.
So that is referenced. That's a finisher drink.
That's a finisher. Yeah.
And if your friends don't know that fact. That's a great party fact. Like, that's a great fun fact right there.
Yeah.
And then...
Finally, this can be played both in person, if you're watching, if you're at the race, or if you're on TV, if you see us, either on TV, not that we're on TV all the time.
But
we might be. You never know. We stand out. We're cool.
Yeah, we'll be in checkers.
Or if you see us in person at the race, you have to take a drink with us.
Yep.
Yeah. We might make you finish your drink.
Yeah, if you see us on TV, definitely finish your drink. If you see us at the track... I mean, definitely take a drink. Come over, say hey, take a picture with us. We'll all cheers and take a drink together. It'll be good times.
So it'll be fun.
And if you find us at the racetrack, you might get some free swag.
Yeah.
We are going to have some fun Fast Cars, Fast Girls merchandise. We're starting out, you know, just a few things here and there. We're going to pepper in some more things as the season goes on.
Got to see what happens.
But during the month of May, we're going to have some fun stuff. So, and I have already committed to just shoving my backpack full of things. So. Mm-hmm. No, I don't take card, but I do take Zelle or cash. So,
yes.
So, yeah. But if you see us, you know, make sure if you recognize us, come out and say hey. Take a picture with us. Tweet it on social media. Put it on, Instagram, Twitter, whatever.
Yeah.
And you might just get some fun swag.
And before we go into Lindsay's interview, don't forget about our checkered challenge that we're doing in May. So we've committed every day in May to wear one sort of checked thing, be it
an accessory, earrings, piece bracelet, of clothing, jewelry, shoes, top, pants,
anything.
Something checkered.
So we're doing that, and we're counting Buffalo checked during the week. Now, Fridays, it has to be full-on checkered for the 500 Fashion Fridays, and do use that. Use checkered challenge any day, but on Fridays, yes. Do use the 500 Fashion Friday. Not only and the IMS is doing a whole thing, but you'll get discounts at various stores.
And restaurants, downtown Indianapolis and on Main Street.
That's what I meant
Speedway.
To say.
So it's a really fun thing. And on Fridays, I mean, hashtag 500 Fashion Fridays, and then you can also add hashtag Checker Challenge for us.
And I know last year, and we're not sure yet, but I know last year they did a couple of things on Georgia Street where they were having like food trucks and they had backdrops there. So definitely keep an eye on that hashtag. I think the IMS probably will be doing a bunch of stuff with it.
They do. And I know that they're going to be releasing a couple fun places around town where they're,
have the
different
backdrops.
Things that you can, take a picture in front of. And they, I don't remember what it's called, but it's to get Indy excited about May. There's a couple artists that design.
Oh, yeah, posters.
Kind of like a reconstructed wing and wheel emblem. And so there will be, that
murals.
Artwork. Yeah, those murals, different places around the city. So, make sure you check that out. Take pictures in front of it. It's real cool. It's a really fun thing that they started in 2017. And
I love it.
I love it. I hope to see it.
As a downtown worker, it's fantastic.
It really is. And while you're doing your checker challenges and your 500 Fashion Fridays.
And you're at the track.
While you're at the track, where you should be, come out, you know, on Friday, you can come out and see qualifications. And the best part about the IndyCar GP is that it's not just one race.
Yeah.
When you come to the Indy 500, it's one race. Granted, it's the best race.
Right.
And there's, I mean, it's a full day of activity. There's all this pageantry and there's, you know, the parade, there's bands and older cars. And there's the Indy 500 princesses and, you know, all kinds of cool stuff that happens. But for the GP, we have other races that weekend.
Yeah.
And so our support races, the Mazda Road to Indy. So you're going to see four different races on Saturday, May 12th. And really, you can't beat that for your money. I mean,
no, you
general
really
admission at this point is $35 because we're into May. And so that was when the prices went up for the final time. So, but general admission is $35. There's mounds all over the place.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's just, it's a great time. You get to see the Indy Lights, which is just under, and then the Pro Mazda League and the USF 2000.
And Sabre Cook.
One of our faves, she'll be in the USF 2000. And we just, I mean, there are a lot of great up and coming drivers, and a lot of our newer drivers this year came from the Indy Lights League. So
yeah,
it's kind of a good way to
scope out
our up and coming drivers, you know, our up and coming talent. So yeah, I enjoy it for that reason as well. And mm-hmm. so Friday you'll get to see the qualifications for all of those. So you'll get to see all four, of those leagues on the track on Friday and Saturday.
Yeah, it's going to be
a lot. So it's a great time. So while you're out there any of those days doing your checker challenge, hashtag, and doing the hashtag 500 Fashion Fridays, don't forget hashtag track selfie.
And tag us.
And tag us.
Because we're not going to find it any other way unless you tag us.
But hashtag track selfie and tag us, because we will be doing a contest, and the best two track selfies each get a free ticket to Carb Day.
Yeah.
So, and it has to be at the IMS. I know that we all have great track selfies from other tracks and we love other tracks. Don't care.
But it's May, so.
It's May.
There you go.
So, yeah. And you've got this weekend, and then you're going to have next week as well. We're not going to decide the winner until after qualification. So if you're not making it out for the GP, A, you should call in sick, change your schedule,
right, like,
do what you can do.
What are you doing with your life?
But if you're, you know, going to be out one of the qualifications days or on Fast Friday, same thing. We're going to be deciding it the Monday after qualifications. And, yeah, so two free Carb Day tickets.
There you go.
For the best track selfie. Get creative, people.
Yeah.
I want to be wowed.
Points for creativity.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Bonus bumps.
Yeah.
Well, and coming up next, we've got the interview with Lindsay Beckley from Talking Hoosier History. With us doing a abbreviated episodes a lot, we're not going to have like the woman of the week and the shit we didn't make up. So my nose just went flying. That was fun. Count. This is our month episode of shit we didn't make up. And I'm going to be dropping a blog about the women of the week, about the Indianapolis 500. So enjoy this interview with Lindsay. All right, we have with us Lindsay Beckley, and Lindsay, you are the host of Talking Hoosier History, the podcast all about Hoosier history, and we thank you for coming on. We're going to do a fun little, like, everybody's favorite IMS, Indy 500 history tidbits to get us all excited. Well, Lindsay, you're the guest, so why don't you lead us up? We're going to put you on the hot spot here. Why don't you lead us off with your first?
Okay, it's going to be fitting to start with one of the founders of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway.
Yeah.
Carl Fisher, I think he's my favorite of the founders. He got into the automobile game really early in like the 1890s or somewhere around there. Mm-hmm. And he got into racing in the early 1900s. And he was out testing a car one day. Thought, man, I can't even put 2 miles of good road together in order to test this race car. So he kind of decided that he needed to remedy that. So he put together, or he kind of conceived of, the notion of the speedway, where he said that cars could be run up to 1,000 miles in a test if necessary. So from that came the IMS in 1909, and that was, of course, Fisher, James Allison, Frank Wheeler, and Arthur Newby. And then Fisher is really interesting, aside from just the IMS stuff. But, of course, the IMS stuff is very interesting. It's always been a place of, he conceived of it, and it has always been of a place of automotive innovation. Of course, I think a lot of people know the story of the first Indy 500 having the first rear view mirror used in a race.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I think a lot of people, the way I heard it first was that it was the first rear view mirror ever used.
Yeah, I think
you're
right.
I think from what I saw, it was the first use of a race, not like because it was being manufactured for common use of other places.
Mm-hmm.
But this was the first in a race, which made it a lot easier. He won with that innovation. And there's been a lot of innovation since then, of course. But getting back to Fisher, he was also an advocate of the automobile in general. He realized that before automobiles could be like viable for an everyday transportation method, roads had to be more reliable. You know, before that's why he founded the IMS. To that end, he joined the Good Roads Movement, which I think you guys might be in agreement that we need one of those today for Indianapolis.
Oh, well, we definitely do. 100%.
Some of those are real killers out there. He actually donated all the funds for a highway that connected Plymouth, Indiana, South Bend, and St. Joseph, Michigan. He donated that all the funds for that highway. Interestingly, he also owned a vacation home in St. Joseph, so that might have had something to do with that.
A little bit self-serving.
Yeah. You find a lot of the stuff that he was involved with might have been a little self-serving, but it was also for the greater good, I guess. So he also helped found the Lincoln Highway, which was an east-west transcontinental highway, mm-hmm. and the Dixie Highway, which was a north-south transcontinental highway. He also had a summer home in Miami, which is where that Dixie Highway terminated. So he just really wanted to be able to get to vacation easier, I think.
I really can't blame him for that.
No. Oh, no. I mean, I think, like, over half of all roads at this time were dirt. And, of course, even the ones that were paved with bricks. So it wasn't the best going or the smoothest ride, I imagine.
No.
But in the end, I mean, better roads and the innovations made at the speedway that Fisher kind of promoted ended in efficiently shipped agricultural goods, mm-hmm. A better national mailing system. You wouldn't think that something like the IMS would be connected to a more efficient post system. But also, I mean, and just a better connected country in general. So he was kind of not the sole impetus of this, but he definitely had a lot of good advocacy work in the area. So he's one of my favorite IMS related figures, I guess.
Yeah, excellent. Yeah, he's all of the founders are a very interesting group of people. Well, Ab, do you want to go next? Do you want me to go next?
So, in line with the founders, one of my favorite facts is that the four founders are the names of the four elementary schools in Speedway.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I never thought about that.
So, yeah, and I actually went to Carl G. Fisher Elementary School, so.
Now,
I feel long-winded.
No worries. They don't, The high schools aren't, or the middle, you have two middle schools there in Speedway, don't, no, just one, never mind.
No, just one. Yeah, just one middle school, one high school.
I was like, oh, who are the middle schools named after? No. okay. That's true. Well, I'll follow up with one of my favorite sort of like history tidbits, and it's also secretly my favorite part of the race is when they release the balloons. At the beginning of the race. And obviously this kind of harkens back to the balloon races that they used to hold at the IMS. It started approximately in about 47, and it wasn't until 1950 where they kind of timed that release to when they kind of finished the end of Back Home Again in Indiana. Right now they do release about 30,000 balloons, which are made of biodegradable latex. Fun fact, actually, a lot of petitions are circling out there if you Google balloons and IMS because people are concerned about the environmental impact. But for me, it's a very, I think it's kind of part of my history with the race because that was the big thing that we could see from my house in Speedway when I lived in there is that we all kind of climbed out on top of the house, as you do back in the day. And we could see the balloons rising up from the track. And then we would all go back inside to watch the race. So, yeah, fun fact about the balloons. 30,000 biodegradable latex.
That's a lot of balloons.
It's a lot of balloons.
It's good to know that they're biodegradable, though. I've always thought that at the beginning of it. But it's good to know that they're at least going to go away sometime.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to go away. So they're not just like 40 million balloons just hanging out in central Indiana. All right, Lindsay, what do you got up next for us?
I got the involvement or the kind of correlation between the track and World War One.
Oh, perfect.
So I think a lot of people do know that the, of course, the Indy 500 didn't run in 1917 and 1918. Mm-hmm. And actually in 1916, it had the smallest field of drivers ever, which was, I think, like 21 cars. So that was all due to the war. But I don't think a lot of people know about like the direct connection between the track and the war, because, of course, Speedway was huge into manufacturing, and starting in April of 1918, the Speedway was used as a landing flight, or sorry, a landing and test, a landing and flight test field. There we go.
It's a mouthful.
And yeah, so as soon as the rumbling started of the United States entering the war, then Carl Fisher offered the Speedway as a place that the U.S. could use for this kind of work, and that saved the government a lot of money because they didn't have to build a specific field for it. And in the, so of course, I think the first plane got there in April of 1918, the war ended November 11th, 1918. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't open for very long during the war, but just during that time, it was about, so that what, about 7 months, mm-hmm. There were 313 planes that were repaired there, and that saved the government over $2 million because instead of replacing that those planes, they were able to just repair them. Mm-hmm. And so, and they used the Speedway for landing and taking off. And while they were doing that, they were also doing some modifications for safety. So, for instance, the instrument panels in the planes, they were coming in and they were all busted up. Most of the control panels were all busted up. And it was because they were really close to the pilots. Mm. And when they would crash, the pilot would
hit it?
Go forward and hit his head on it.
Oh my.
So they actually ended up moving those back, and the mechanics, when they were doing the adjustments at the aviation depot and at the track, they would move those back and make it a lot safer for the pilots. There were some other similar things, but I think that was the most the major adjustment that they made.
That is amazing.
Yeah, and actually even that extended out past the war, so they didn't close the aviation repair depot and stop using the Speedway as a test flight area until 1920. So, for 2 years after the war.
And that's really cool about the cockpit and moving the instrument panel.
It's kind of interesting, the parallel between the safety modifications made at the track for aviation, mm-hmm. and the safety modifications that have been made there through IndyCar racing and just racing in general. So I think that's a cool parallel between the two.
Yeah, that's amazing.
That is a very cool parallel.
That is,
it just kind of shows the balance of improving safety and just in general for most of its existence.
I didn't know that. I'm such a geek. I'm like loving this right now.
Well, I'm glad we're all learning things.
Knowledge is power. All right, Abby, what do you got?
I don't know that I have a favorite fact right along this line.
Oh, I don't think I can follow up right along that line.
My next favorite factoid is, totally not along that line, but it would be the person who coined the phrase "the greatest spectacle in racing" was actually a woman, and it was Alice Green, and it was in 1955. Mm-hmm. She was a copywriter for WIBC, and the announcer at the time, his name was Sid, and I can't remember his last name, but he's who made it famous because it was his voice that everybody was hearing, or Sid Collins, there we go, his voice that everybody was hearing, but, they were just spitballing on ways that they were going to, feed in and out of commercials as they were, doing the race on the radio, and she said, how about we go to commercials and we say, stay tuned for the greatest spectacle in racing.
And yeah, and everybody thought that that was awesome. They loved it, and it's still used today.
Yeah.
So you said the Sid guy, does he get more widely recognized for that? Is she kind of looking at Brola, or?
It's her. I think that not a lot of people were aware that it was her until she died. And her daughter put it in her obituary. And it ended up making, like, headlines in Indiana. And I guess the next thing the daughter knew, Donald Davison was on the phone. and just wanted to call her and confirm that that is, in fact, exactly what happened. And that she was the one who coined that phrase. And so it ended up becoming less of a secret, more common knowledge at that time.
Wow. That's really interesting.
It is. I think I can actually, I'm going to like switch one up. I had another one, but I'm going to piggyback off of the greatest spectacle in racing, because that's actually a trademarked phrase by the IMS. They own, it's kind of a fun thing to look up all the different things that have been trademarked to the IMS. So the greatest spectacle in racing, obviously the logos that we see. But things like Carb Day is actually trademarked. Gasoline Alley is trademarked. The phrase, gentlemen, start your engines, but not ladies and gentlemen. So that's interesting.
I would bet that the verbiage on that
probably allows it.
All iterations of that statement.
I have not read the trademark itself, but I would bet so. Safer is one, and that's kind of interesting to me. So, like, the safer barrier, the use of the word safer is trademarked. And I think,
but only if it's written in all caps?
I think only if it's written in all caps. Yeah, no. If you just write it in lowercase, you can sneak past that one. And then finally, where was it? Darn it. Oh, the pagoda is trademarked.
Really?
Yeah, and the design of the pagoda is trademarked.
So the word pagoda is...
If you use it... Mm-hmm. And usually with trademarks like these, if you use it in conjunction with a design of a pagoda and whatnot, and that's what you're trying to invoke, it's actually trademarked. Fun. These are fun things that attorneys really like to look up because we're big, giant nerds, and I wanted to know... A lot of it's the logos, so I mean, but that's really what makes the big the list very big. But yeah, it's cool. It's fun. You can Google trademarks one day when you guys have nothing else to do ever in your life. I mean, I don't recommend it, but all right. Oh my goodness, are we on our third and final ones already?
I think so, yeah.
Wow, we're speeding through. We're all excited. It's fine. What do you have for us, Lindsay?
So I wanted to go a little lighter for the third one.
Okay.
And so I decided to look at kind of drinking at the 500. Not what they do in the snake pit, but actually at the 500.
Well, we could talk about the snake pit drinking a lot, Lindsay.
Exactly. So I was kind of just reading through some newspaper articles, and I saw a lot of them in 1913 that were talking about I believe, French or Italian. I should have looked that up. But his name is Jules.
He is French.
He's French.
He's French. Okay. Yeah. I think that's French, but I wasn't sure. And I'm guessing Jules Goo.
Goo, yeah.
It ends with an X, so yeah. I would imagine it's Goo.
Works for us.
He developed the 600 engine in 1913, and that kind of took over the race after that. Before that, they had the 8-valve four-cylinder engine. So he introduced that. He won the race. But what I thought was really interesting is that in each of his six pit stops during that day, he drank a pint of champagne. So he was keeping nourished with champagne that day. And then, of course, the next year they introduced a rule that forbade drinking during the race, or at least if you're driving. So That's kind of a rule that they probably didn't think they had to make until it was necessary. I guess that's how a lot of rules come around, though.
True, true.
That's actually one of my favorite stories, because I always say to Molly, there's two reasons why rules are made, and one is because somebody just has, good common sense and foresight, and then the other reason is people like me that do things that cause you to make rules that you thought yourself, I didn't think we would have had to say this, but apparently we do. So Jules Goo is a man after my own heart. Like, well, you didn't specifically say I couldn't drink champagne while I drove the 500.
I mean, why not? I mean, that's quite a bit of champagne, my goodness.
And he won that year, didn't he?
Yeah. He won, from what I understand, he won by, a long shot, too. He was ahead the whole race and won by a lot.
Well. That's amazing. So, champagne helped.
Yeah.
Hey, I guess so. Fueled them.
That's, my goodness, that's, I just can't believe it. I mean, it worked, so.
Well, I mean, it could have also been the 16-valve engine instead of the 8-valve that everybody else was driving.
Well, there's that.
Yeah.
All right, Mar, you got something? Abby, you got something similar?
I do.
All right.
So, interestingly, you called me Meyer because my factoid is about Louis Meyer.
There you go.
Who was a 3-time 8500 championship, and on his middle win in 1933, he was the first person to drink milk in the winner's circle.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, and it was actually buttermilk.
And why did he drink buttermilk?
Because he grew up on a farm, and that's what he drank growing up, and that's what he liked to drink. That's what he wanted.
Yeah, that works.
I read something that said that his mom told him to drink milk whenever he was hot.
Ugh.
Yes.
Sorry.
Which is, yeah. Ugh. Yeah, I just feel like I think of that scene in Anchorman. Milk was a bad choice. Yeah, milk is not good for hot days. But yeah, and then another fun fact about Meyer is that the 1928 race, which was his rookie year and he won, his wife didn't even know that he was running in the Indy 500 that year. He did not tell her beforehand.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh. Wow.
That's an awkward conversation when you get home.
So that was your day. Oh, I won the Indy 500.
Oh, okay. Oh.
Excuse me?
You did what now?
Right. So what's your fun fact, Molly?
Well, I'm going to finish it out with another fun factoid about drinking, but not milk or champagne, but orange juice, the orange juice controversy of Emerson Fittipaldi. So obviously after Louis Meyer started drinking milk, the American Dairy Association was like, this is amazing, and so now everybody had been drinking milk at the end since then. Well, in 1993, when Fittipaldi won the Indy 500, he instead drank orange juice instead of milk. The thoughts were he owned an orange tree grove at the time. He kind of wanted to really boost the knowledge of it. He did have milk later, but it was kind of too late. He had already pissed off the fans and dairy farmers, and he ended up having to forfeit $5,000 from his purse and got booed at a race in Milwaukee later in the year. So,
wow.
Always drink your milk after the 500, even if you don't like it. Just have a little bit and then pour the rest on your head.
Just pour it all over your face. I'm not going to be happy.
Yeah, just you don't have to drink it. Just look like you are.
Whatever milk you want. You could get almond milk, you could get cashew milk, you could get coconut milk. I mean, you have soy milk. You can have whatever milk you want now.
You can have skim milk, which is basically water.
Yep. But
did I see that there's been some news reports that the people who usually supply the milk might be going out of business? Is that right?
I didn't catch that. Oh my goodness, I'm gonna have to look this up.
I think I saw a headline and actually did not read the article like a poorly informed person. I don't think that they have yet, but I think that they might be closing up shop. So
Oh, no.
I guess we'll stay tuned to see who supplies it after that.
Well, I'd say stay tuned for the greatest spectacle in racing, but apparently that's all trademark.
Well, yeah. You'll get a cease and desist.
Well, they know me. It's fine. It's okay. Well, Lindsay, before we get off here, we always like to ask people who are on our podcast, and you let me know ahead of time that you've been going to the race for a while. So how long have you been going to the race?
So I have been 5 or 6 years, okay. But I was thinking about it earlier, and combined, my husband's family has been to over 200 races.
Oh,
so that's they've definitely got a tradition in their family.
Yeah. What do you, when you kind of think about the day of the 500, what's your favorite moment?
That's a good question. I think back, the singing of Back Home and again in Indiana is just cause it's such an iconic time. And I mean, when you think of the 500, at least me, that's what I think of. I do enjoy the race a lot, and I like the atmosphere, mm-hmm. and just being around a lot of people that love the same thing. But that moment, it kind of hearing everybody else sing along, yeah. and it's really emotional a lot of times.
Isn't it, though?
And I love Indiana, so.
Obviously.
Yeah.
No, how do you feel about...
alone in that.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead. You're good.
Oh, yeah. I would just say I think most people find that an emotional moment in the pre-race ceremonies.
Definitely.
Especially the Scoochers.
Oh my gosh. And looking into this upcoming race, do you have a driver yet that you want to win, or anybody you're kind of thinking about cheering for?
Well, if I don't say AJ Foyt, my
dad is a big Foyt fan, so part of me has to kind of cheer for Foyt Racing, so I understand that.
Other than that, it's whoever I get in the race pool.
Oh my gosh. They've got a race pool too.
Everybody has a race pool. It's part of tradition.
I love it. Well, Lindsay, before we end, why don't you let everybody know where they can find you and your podcast?
Yeah, so you can find us on the Indiana Historical Bureau website. That's in.gov/history. And then on the left side, you'll see a tab for podcast. So you can find us there, or on Facebook at Talking Hoosier History, or on Twitter at Talk Hoosier Hist.
Awesome. Well, thank you for spending the time with us to kind of talk about our favorite moments for the 500 and get all excited.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun researching this and a lot of fun talking with you guys. So thanks for having me on.
No worries.
Yeah, thank you very much. So we look forward to seeing you in a minute.
All right. Well, that was fun. I enjoyed that.
Yeah, I enjoyed that too. That was fun. I always enjoy sharing favorite
factoids.
I love
it's party
love
tricks,
factoids.
Really.
Yeah. Me and a friend of mine, Paul, we always were like hashtag fun fact.
Yeah,
because I'm full of fun facts and trivia. I love it. I love learning more and learning new stuff. So especially about something that I'm already passionate about.
There you go. Well, I think we need to call it because, shoot, we're going to be at the track in a couple of days.
We are. So let's white flag this. Let's white flag this son of a bitch. What you got, Molly?
Yeah, GP. GP to me is the lead up to the race.
Mm.
And I'm ready for the GP. I like our road course race, so. Let's go.
I do too.
And my sister's coming with us, so it's going to be fun to kind of take her around. She's not been to a race here, so I'm ready to go.
That'll be very fun. Yeah, I'm excited your sister's coming as well.
I don't think she has no idea what she's getting into,
It's fine. But it'll still be fun.
Yeah.
It'll be a good time. So, yeah.
What about you?
Yeah, I mean, I think I feel the same way. You know, it's like we have 3 solid weekends in a row.
Oh my gosh.
We've got a race weekend, we've got quals, and then we've got race weekend.
Well, like, hell, and then we've got another
quals, and then the race weekend.
Then the race weekend.
I mean, I was, I think, 12 or 13 years old before I realized that people called it Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah, that's how
and
we work here.
I'm being pretty generous. I mean, like, 23.
I mean, when I say 12, I mean,
like, 23. And to this day, I still just refer to it as race weekend. And anybody who's from the Indianapolis area knows what you mean
it's
when you
race
say
weekend.
Race weekend.
Yeah, I get it.
So, it's Memorial Day, but it's race weekend.
And
so,
it's coming up.
And it's going to be a good year.
It is.
I'm just giddy. Yeah. So, we hope you're as excited as we are. And also, if you haven't noticed, I have started a blog series about some tips and tricks for newbies to the Indy 500. It's the Fast Cars, Fast Girls, ROP.
Yeah.
It's the Fan Rookie Orientation Program. So make sure you check out my blog if you haven't already. It'll have some good information and just some funny quips.
Yeah, because you got to know what to do before you go.
You do.
Yeah.
You do. You don't want to walk into it blind.
No.
It's a long weekend.
It's a marathon, not a sprint.
Bingo. Bingo.
All right, let's check her flag.
Let's check her flag. Thanks so much for listening. See you at the track.
Bye.